Well, I want to thank all of you for being here on this another beautiful, beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with. We've been wanting summertime. I think we got it. I don't want to hear anybody complaining it's too hot. But we will be before long, I'm sure. Brother Bill, it's so good to see you back. And I hope your strength gives you enough to make it back on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings and just every time we come together, and that you can get back with us and start leading those songs. We'd love to hear you lead the songs. You know, there is a song that we sing from time to time. It's a beautiful song, and it is in our songbook number 656. I'd like for you to turn your Bible or your songbooks with us and read these words this evening. And at the end of the service, our last song is number 656, which Brother Danny's going to lead us in. But right now, I want you to turn your songbooks to 656. Let's read these beautiful words. The title is, "It's Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." And the words are as follows. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows a sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Aren't those wonderful sentiments expressed in that song? I think so. I love that song. Now, there's been times when I've been standing in assembly of brothers and sisters in Christ, lifting up our voices together in song, that I've had a chill go through me just thinking about the nearness and the dearness of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Truly, there's no other group of people on this earth who would be so ready to help me should I need it than my brethren. Yet, have you ever noticed how we sometimes forget the sacredness and the closeness of our relationship one to another and act so independently? Brethren will need help and they won't tell anybody. A brother or sister will be having a problem of some sort, and for some reason or another they figure, I'll handle it on my own. Brethren will be facing serious health problems and not tell the church. And there may be financial reversals, and many brethren will let themselves get into desperate situation before they let their brothers and sisters in Christ know. Now, I don't know why we do this, but I find myself being the same way sometimes. I'll do it myself. I don't need any help, we say. Sometimes we're so fiercely independent that we lose sight of the fact that we're all just members of a body, and that body belongs to the Lord. I want to take the time this evening to read a passage that we are all familiar with. First, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul emphasizes the fact that we are to each other as the hand is to the foot, and as the eye is to the ear, or as the nose is related to them all. We are parts of the body. Beginning with verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul wrote, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So just as the parts of the body work together to produce a healthy, functioning person, so too each of us individually fit together with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ to make up that healthy, functioning body that is His church. And you know something, brethren? I don't think that I'd want to live very long at all in a world that was so spiritually destitute that I could not know the love and the sustaining faith and comfort of a fellow Christian, a servant, a fellow servant of the King of Kings. I wouldn't want to live in a community or in a nation where it proved to be impossible to convert at least one person into a Christian with whom I could share the common hope of salvation and all the other spiritual blessings that are found only in Christ. Come with me, brethren, to 1 John chapter 4, if you would. 1 John chapter 4. There we read, beginning in verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So to love the Lord is to love those who are his. The tie that binds Christians together in love is a cherished tie, one that is dear to the heart of every Christian. Or certainly should be. But that tie that binds is just not something to talk about. It is real and it performs a definite and necessary function. The tie that binds us together, brethren, exerts a powerful, powerful influence. We can help each other avoid the pitfalls of sin. We can help lift each other up from frustration and despair and anguish. We can be the shoulders that help a brother or sister bear a burden that seems just too heavy for them for a time. And we can be there with a tissue to help dry the tears. When I think of the words of that song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, you know what it reminds me of? Have you ever watched a movie about a mountain climbing expedition in which a group of mountain climbers work and struggle together to reach the peak of some great mountain? I'm sure you've seen it. As they make their way up the treacherous and slippery slope, they are bound together by ropes, very strong ropes, that are designed to save the life of any one of them that should be so unfortunate as to slip or fall. So bound together like that, they make their way over icy craters and dangerous snow-covered crevasses, and which if they fell into would kill them. But they can do it. They can do it because the tie that binds them together is a tie that saves and preserves life. It enables them to safely conquer the great obstacles that no one person could ever overcome. That is the image that the first sentence of that song gives me. So, brethren, we are on a path that leads to the peak of the mountain, and there are undoubtedly dangers along the way. But we are bound together. And I'm not going to let you fall to your death, and you're not going to let me fall to mine. When I reach an obstacle that is giving me real trouble getting over it, you are going to pull me up by that tie that binds us, and I will do the same for you. The Scriptures set forth so many of the duties and services that Christians render to each other, and we are to do these things because of the tie that binds us. God's Word teaches that we are to love one another with a pure heart fervently, 1 Peter 1:22. In honor, we are to prefer one another, Romans 12:10 tells us. When one of us is in need, Paul said that we were to step in and help. Remember his words in Romans 12:13 when he wrote, distributing to the necessity of saints? Remember that? Now, we care about one another, and because we do, we will admonish those of our members who are walking disorderly. We will encourage those who might be beginning to stumble a little bit, and we'll support those who are weak. When we see a brother or sister who has fallen, we will restore or seek to restore that person, remembering that what James wrote in James chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20. Let's look at that. James 5, verse 19 and 20. I'll never forget, my mother read me this passage years and years and years ago, and I've never forgot. James 5, verses 19 and 20. And it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. That's James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. When we speak in such a way as to give grace to those that hear us. We go out of our way to be kind and to be considerate. We are Christians. We are Christians. And Christians can be depended upon to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's how Paul so beautifully put it in Galatians 6 and verse 2. More than any other group of people on earth, Christians can be found working that which is good towards all men, but especially towards fellow Christians. We will be hospitable without complaint. And if we revile, we will return blessing. It's true that even alone a child of God can accomplish a great deal of good in the Master's service. Even if every other Christian on earth were to deny the faith, we could individually continue faithfully, and that's what the Lord would expect of us. You've heard me say that many a time, that if every person on this earth was not a Christian, the salvation of God would never change. If no one was a member, His words will never change. But doesn't having brothers and sisters in Christ make the journey enjoyable and the load much easier to bear? Does for me. Solomon spoke of the benefits of companions in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Let's read that together. Turn your Bibles if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Solomon wrote, beginning in verse 9. He wrote, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. But if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So, brethren, you know something? This tie that binds us extends even into the grave. This tie that binds us extends into the grave. It's clear that in the first century, there was an anxious excitement, an eager anticipation, if you would, for the return of the Lord Jesus in His glory. There are many passages that indicate that first century Christians believed the return to be imminent. They thought Jesus was coming back any day. But Paul had to straighten them out on this. If you will, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And here we find that some of them in the Thessalonian brethren had died, and there was a concern among those still living that their departed brothers and sisters were somehow going to miss that great hope that had moved them to be Christians in the first place. They were concerned about that. They didn't understand it. But Paul's point to them was that there was no reason for such sorrow. Sorrow as to those who had no hope. Because those who had gone on still had the hope and would still enjoy the glory when the Lord came back. This is what 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 13 through 18 tells us. And what he tells those Thessalonian brethren. So we see that the tie that binds us extends even into the grave. Beginning with verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then he goes on to say, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So he made his Thessalonian brethren feel good. They understood now what was going to happen. Now we can't fully understand the idea of the blessings to be found in Christ until we come to know and appreciate the value that our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Jesus built the church in such a way as to make us all depend upon one another. So brethren, let us not try to be fiercely independent that we don't take advantage of one of the blessings that the Lord has provided for us. Our brothers and sisters in Christ. What a blessing it is. And brethren, when you need help, let your brethren help you. Let others know what you need. Let others share your burdens, because that's a privilege. It's not a burden. It is a privilege to brothers and sisters to love each other. So we need to let people know. Now I know here at Prairie Village, there are many different stories. There are those who need the encouragement or a pat on the back, or the assurance of prayers offered, or maybe even physical help of different kinds. We are a family. And if we tell our brothers and sisters when we need help, and if all of us here will be on the lookout for a brother or sister who might need help, then nobody should ever be overlooked, and nobody should ever have to carry a load, a burden greater than they can handle. Blessed be the tie that binds. I wish you'd turn your Bibles back to the Old Testament, to the book of Job for just a moment. In chapter 9. Job says in chapter 9, verse 25, he said, now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping in on its prey. Time quickly changes the world as we know. Our bodies age. Our family grows older and they leave. Our friends die. Our things decay. It is as Theodore W. Brennan describes in his poem, Those Wasted Years. And I'd like to read that poem to you. It's called Those Wasted Years. I looked upon a farm one day that once I used to own. The barn had fallen to the ground. The fields were overgrown. The house in which my children grew, where we lived for years, I turned to see it broken down and brushed aside the tears. I looked upon my soul one day to find it too had grown, with thorns and nettles everywhere the seeds neglect had sown. The years had passed while I cared for things of lesser worth. the things of heaven I let go while minding the things of earth. To Christ I turned with bitter tears and cried, O Lord, forgive. I haven't much time left for Thee, not many years to live. The wasted years forever gone, the days I can't recall. If I could live those days again, I'd make Him Lord of all. As sobering as it is to see time fly by, the most sobering realities of life will not be seen in this world. Time is quickly turning the pages of life for a reason. Each day pushes us one day closer to the day when time must end, when we will give an account for our use of time. So I ask you, are you prepared for that day? Have you met the purpose of time by being found in Christ? You enter Him by obeying the gospel. You remain in Him by maintaining your faith. And if you're living any other way, you're wasting what little time you have left in this fleeting journey. And I beg you, and I plead with anyone here this evening who is not a Christian, I beg you, I plead with you to come forward, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if there's anyone here this evening who's been unfaithful in any way, and you think you need the prayers of the church after you repented to God and asked Him to forgive you, we beg you too to come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. Will you do that now? Will you do that now as we stand and as we sing?